So we are holding. Okay. We are holding on Tzadik Ches Amar Aleph. We're holding on Tzadik Ches Amar Aleph, the eighth line of the wide lines. Check that, seventh line, rather, Amar Rav Alexandri. The line in Chayav. It is the eighth line, actually. The eighth line, the widest lines, rather. Okay, shoot. Yeah, the line. Yeah, really. they do in the Dvar Malchus, yeah. All right, so the line begins Chayav. Yeah. Okay. Still talking about Mashiach. Amar Rav Alexandri, Rav Yeshua ben Levi Romi. Rav Yeshua ben Levi pointed out a contradiction between two psukim. Ksiv, actually not even two psukim, but two words within the same pasuk, back to back. Ksiv be'ita or ksiv achishena. The pasuk says, Ani Hashem be'ita achishena. I will bring Mashiach be'ita in its time. Achishena, I will hurry it up. Be'ita implies that the psukim will bring. Hashem says, obviously. The point is, be'ita implies that there's a certain fixed time for Mashiach to come. But achishena means that it'll come faster than that. So the famous thing, Zohu Achishena, and Achishena, yeah. Zohu Be'ita, Zohu Achishena, Loi Zohu Be'ita. If the Jewish people are Zoicha, it'll be Achishena, it'll be hurried up. Loi Zohu, if they don't have such schutim, then Be'ita, then it'll be in its appointed time. Now, there's a vast amount of, as with everything in these Gemaras over here, there's a vast number of explanations about the details of what all this is. In particular, though, it talks about Chassidus, the idea that Be'ita and Achishena are actually two different. It's not just a question of when the time is. It actually amounts to what is Yemos HaMashiach going to accomplish. Is it, we know that Esruach HaTumah Avim in Aretz, that Tumah and evil and whatever will be gone from the world. Will it be transformed, is Hapcha, or will it be suppressed, is Skafia? That depends on the Be'ita versus Achishena. If it's Be'ita, then it'll have to be suppressed, which is not the ideal thing. The ideal thing would be to take the energy of that and use it for Kedusha. That will be if Achishena, if Zohar.
Achishena
means prior to that time, yeah.
Why should it come prior if we deserve
because
it?
Because if we deserve it, yeah. If Zohar, if we, yeah. Elsewhere in Chassidus, it talks about the idea that Zohu and Loi Zohu represent two different types of Avoida.
So that's
one,
according to Rabbi Yeshua.
Yes. Okay.
Right.
We said before. We accepted
it. Valid guy.
Okay.
What's that? He's valid.
Yeah.
Yeshua.
I go by
what he said.
Okay. And elsewhere in Chassidus, it also talks about the idea that Zohu and Loi Zohu represent two different types of Avoida as well. Zohu implies that we do the Avoida Sabirurim in the more ruchniestiker aspects of creation, and Loi Zohu implies that we have to deal with the really low down and crack parts of creation of Gashmos. All right. Similar, the Omer of Alexander, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi Romi, another thing Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi pointed out, a contradiction between two psukim. Ksiv va'aruim anayin ishmaya kvar enashosa. One pasuk says, behold, with the clouds of heaven, a man is coming, meaning Mashiach, so he's coming on the clouds. Uchtiv oni v'roich v'achamor, but a different pasuk describes him as a poor man riding on a donkey. Same thing, zochuim anayin ishmaya loi zochu oni v'roich v'achamor. Same idea, that it depends on zochu or loi zochu. And again, you have to say a similar kind of thing over here, because the Maharal talks about, and from there it's brought in many places in Chassidus, that Roich v'Chamor, riding on a donkey, represents the idea of conquering Chumrius, of conquering the, and then subjugating the physicality of the world. So again, it depends whether Zohu or Loi Zohu, whether that has to be done, or whether it happens, kind of, whether it has to be done, whether that has to be suppressed, or whether it can be transformed.
So
Loi Zohu is, it has to be, we have to ride on it, like to suppress it, like as opposed to Zohu, if you're on a higher level, you don't even need that. Then the Chumrius itself gets transformed. You don't have to speak of riding on it, because Chumrius itself gets transformed.
But it goes the other way around better, because if they're Zohu, then they will ride on the Gashmius.
But the point is that if they're Zohu, the point is if we're working on a higher level, then we don't even need to talk about Chumur, as in the cracked physicality. Not it'll disappear, it'll be transformed into something more realistic. Right. As opposed to that we have to talk about that he's riding on it, implying that it's implying that it exists and therefore it has to be suppressed in order to make way for the other course of Mashiach time. Yeah. By the way,
far away from that.
Yeah. Well, it depends. It depends how you look at it, I guess. But it talks about, the Rebbe talks about someplace in a Sicha that you have, if it's brought up, the same donkey that Mashiach rides is going to be the same one that Avram rode, that Avram used for the Akedah and Moshe put his family on, the Rebbe points out, so you have a progression over there. Avraham used it only for the things that he was carrying, to carry the firewood and the stuff for shechting and whatever. Moshe used it for his family. Mashiach will use it for himself. So a progression of how this Chamur...
Use it for
if he himself were right on it, as we're saying.
But
don't
we say Melech Mashiach?
So, yes.
Melech rides on a horse.
Yeah, that's actually the next thing. Amalei Shabur Malka L'Shmuel. Amalei Shabur Malka L'Shmuel. So King Shabur, the king of Persia, says to Shmuel, Amritu Mashiach Al-Khamra Asi. You say that Mashiach is going to arrive on a donkey. Why a donkey? Eshtalei Susya Barka D'Isli. Let me better send him a Barka horse that I have. What is Barka? There's a lot of different explanations. Rashi says that one explanation is it means like a well-combed and coarse, like a horse that's been taken good care of. Rashi says the first explanation of Barka is Misurak Umchuvan Vana, like a well combed and nice and beautiful.
Like
in other words, why should he have like a show horse? Why should he have to come on a donkey? Better let him come on a fancy horse. Which means Rashi says Malaglavaya, he was making fun of the whole concept. Or second explanation, Shabur was making fun of the whole concept.
It's a Melech.
Yeah, but wait.
Logical.
Or the other wait, another explanation Rashi says is it's not Susya Barka, but rather Badka, a horse that has already been tested and we know that it runs fast.
Okay.
And then there's a lot of other explanations among the Mefarshim. Marsha says that Barka can mean a blind horse. Like even one of my blind horses is better than this donkey that you're thinking that Mashiach is going to come on, in which case, again, he's being malaglav, he's laughing at the whole concept. Different Mephoshim talk about different other possibilities. Barka maybe means white, maybe means red, maybe whatever. There's a variety of different explanations. Anyway, Amalei, so Shmuel answers, and Miyislach Bar Chibra Gavni. Yes, but do you have a horse that has 100 colors?
No,
so what does it mean, a horse of 100 colors? So Rashi says, "B'milsa ba'amadafia," that he needed some way to dispose of his liglug. He's making fun, so like Shmuel says something odd back to him, to say what you said doesn't really make any sense. I'm going to respond to you with something that doesn't make a lot of sense either. Different Mephoshim talk about different possibilities that a number of them talk about the idea that the hundred colors that he's saying that Mashiach's donkey is going to have represent all the different paths in Avodas Hashem that Mashiach is going to incorporate.
No.
You don't have anything like that. Or they talk about that it may mean, for example, rulership over all the sarim of all the various nations. You, Shabur, are the emperor of one nation. Fine, the Persians. You don't rule over the whole world. No, the point is, though, that you don't. So you're saying the Shabur. So therefore, you don't have that ability to see to it that all the sarim and all the nations are subjugated to Mashiach as they need to be. Therefore, you don't have a donkey or a horse of 100 colors. Because you don't have all those,
Very
colored and whatever nations under your rulership.
It's going to be a zebra or something like that.
No,
it means chewing gum.
It means beruchnius. It means that Mashiach's donkey, whatever that means, is going to incorporate all the different things, all the different paths and avodah, or all the different sarim or whatever. Actually, one of the Mephoshim says an interesting idea. He says that what Shabur is saying, we learned before in the Machlokas of Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Shura, that one possibility is the Eibishter can bring Melech Kosher Kahaman will be Gozer Gzeiras on the Jewish people and force them to do tshuva. So Shabur says, very well, you want Mashiach to hurry up. I'm perfectly capable of making Gzeira on the Jewish people of my empire. And Shmuel tells him, yeah, but you don't rule over the whole rest of the world. So therefore, you might make your Gzeiras over here. It still won't affect the rest of the world. So therefore, it's not going to do anything.
This was after Sancheriv
and This is hundreds of years later. Yeah.
He aimed to rule the world?
Shabur? No, doesn't that he aimed to rule the world? Shmuel, that's the thing. Shmuel's
so
pointing out
the
him.
Whole
he doesn't.
Point
he doesn't. You don't rule the whole world, do you? Okay.
He didn't, but he didn't want to.
No, not that I know of. Okay. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi Ashkach Leliyahu Davakaimi Apitcha Demarta Dev Shimon Ben Yechoi. One time Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi met Eliyahu HaNavi. He was standing at the entrance of the cave of Rabbi Shimon Ben Yechoi. Some of them Mephoshim say it means the cave where Rashbi is buried, the famous one in Meron where everybody goes every year like Vayomer. Others say it means maybe the cave where he hid for the famous 13 years.
Which cave he is?
I think even now there's a Masada about a particular cave that they point out as being the one. Is it really true or is it just that the tour guide made it up? I have no idea. Okay, anyway. Amalei, so Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi asks Eliyahu, Asina la'almada asi, am I going to come to Olam Haba? Meaning, either he could be asking whether I'm truly a Ben Olam Haba, he can be asking about am I going to go into Gan Eden alive, as in fact happened, the Gemara tells us in Ksubas, etc. Amalei, im yirtza oden hazeh. So Eliyahu gives him an answer, if this master wants it. Which master? Rashi says it means the Shechina.
Why does it say hazeh?
Hazeh, because the Shekhinah was with them. The Shekhinah was with them, so therefore, like, he's pointing, saying this master, if he wants. There's different other possibilities, the master might actually be Rav Shimon ben Yochai, Man Pnei Odin Dor Rashbi. It might refer to Mashiach, I think the Abavanel says that if Mashiach consents to it, then you'll have your place in Gan Eden.
Well, isn't there someone that Rashbi sent away from with Eliyahu? Is another one, Hanan?
Not sure. Omer Rabbi Shimon Levi. So Rabbi Shimon Levi says, when this happened, Shnaim Ra'isi Bekel Gimel Shamaiti. I saw two over there, but I heard the voice of three. In other words, again, Rashi explains the third is the Shinah. No. Rashi explains the two apparently were Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi and other Yahu, but he says, I heard a third voice over there, the Shinah.
You mean Rashbi and other Yahu?
Rashi apparently understands that it means he didn't actually see Rashbi, because Rashbi is buried over there, This is the Myra where Rashbi had
been
now.
But he heard Rashbi?
No. According to Rashi, the two that he saw are, this is how Maharsha explains Rashi anyway, that it means the two that he saw are himself and other Yahu, the third voice would be the Shinah that he heard. Marshall doesn't like that explanation. He says that maybe the three that he heard means the voices of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov were complaining about the length of the Golos. Omaleh, so Rabbi Shimon Levi asks, Emas Osi Mashiach, when is Mashiach coming? Omaleh, so Leo tells him, Zil Shaili Livdei. Well, go ahead and ask Mashiach himself. The Hecha Yosef. So Rabbi Shimon Levi asks, okay, where is Mashiach sitting?
Where is it exactly?
This was the pastor in Eretz Yisrael. The pastor
was there, actually.
The Hecha Yosef, let's learn, and now your questions will be answered as we go through the next line with the Mechoshim. The Hecha Yosef, where is Mashiach sitting? Apischa de Karta. He's sitting by the gate of the city. Now, this that we say in the city, that was something changed by the censors. The real word is supposed to be Deroimi. So what does Droimi mean? So Maharsha says Droimi means the south, in other words, the south entrance of Gan Eden. Most of the other Rishonim and Achronim learn that Droimi means exactly what it sounds like, the gate of Rome, which leads to a discussion, why is Mashiach sitting at the gate of Rome? The Ramban mentions in his Bikuah, he says they asked him about this, they asked him about this Gemara because they wanted to prove that Mashiach had something to do with the Romans and with Christianity and whatever. And he said, I don't want to tell you the actual reason why he's sitting by the gate of Rome, but he writes afterwards in his report, in his record of the debate, he says the real reason is because Mashiach is going to be there and is eventually going to destroy Rome. He didn't want to tell them that in order not to antagonize them. Maharal talks about the idea the same way as Moshe grew up in Paris Palace, the same way Mashiach has to stay at the gate of Rome.
Why just at the gate?
At the entrance of the city.
Maybe it's just
at that time. Could also be. The Al-Sheikh, by the way, says Roimi over here doesn't necessarily mean the city of Rome in Italy. It may mean a city in Eretz Yisrael of that name, where the Roman emperors, when they came to visit Eretz Yisrael, would use this as their base, and therefore it was called Roimi. A place in Eretz Yisrael called Rome.
No.
Okay.
No, that's the point.
That's the point. So the Al-Sheikh says it's a place in Eretz Yisrael itself, where when the Roman emperors came to visit this part of the world, Eretz Yisrael, they would stay in this city, and therefore it was called Rome. They would go to Caesarea. Sometimes they'd go to other places.
Well, maybe that's Rome.
Maybe. Okay, anyway. All right. My Simone. So he asks, so what's the Simon? How am I going to recognize him? He says, Yosef Bene Ani is Sov L'Chaloyim. Mashiach is sitting over there among all the poor people who suffer from illnesses, because Mashiach is taking on himself the Yisurim of the whole Jewish people. So therefore, he's sitting among them. And how are you going to know him from all the other people over there? All the rest of them, when they're untying and retying their bandages, they untie all their bandages, they clean their wounds, and then they put on all the bandages again. Ihu, him you'll recognize, because shori chad v'asir chad. He takes off one bandage and puts it back on at a time. Why? Sava, because he, not Sava, Omar, because he says, Dilma m'v'ina, deloy akiv. I might any second be called to be on to be Mashiach. There's a Mashiach Shabbakhodur, so therefore I might be called any second. So he knows that at any moment it could come, and he doesn't want to delay any longer than necessary. Even for what? Meanwhile, though, he doesn't want to delay for even a second. Especially the Tertus Chaim points out, he can't delay for even a second, because if it gets decided at some point, Milamila, that Mashiach should come, that the next second there can be a Kitzurug against it. So therefore he has to hustle and then come before the Mepatrik has a chance to speak up. Okay. So Rabbi Shimon ben Levi went to meet Mashiach. Amalei Shalom Alecha Rabbi Amori. Amalei, so Mashiach answers him, Shalom Alecha Bar Livoi. Shalom to you, son of Levoy. Why do you call him that? We'll see in a couple of lines. Amalei, so Rabbi Yeshua asked him, La'emas osimar, famous question, when is the Rebbe coming? When is Mashiach coming? Amalei hayoim, he says, today. Also Gabi Elio, he comes back to Elio. Amalei, my Amalach, what did Mashiach tell you? Amalei, shalom alecha bar Levoy. He said to me, shalom alecha, son of Levoy. Amalei, so Elio tells him, by calling you that, avtach hachloch v'lavuch la'almada osi. By using that expression, he meant to imply that he's guaranteeing that you and your father are both Bnei Olam Haba, because otherwise he wouldn't have called you by your father's name.
His father was Levoy?
His father was Levoy. Levi, Rabbi Shimon Levi. Levoy is the Aramaic version of it. Okay. Amalei, so later on, Rabbi Shimon Levi says exactly what you asked. Shkuri Koshakovi, he lied to me. Amalei Hayoim Asini, he said, I'm coming today, V'layotah, and he didn't come. Amalei, Eliyahu answers, Hachi Amalei Hayoim, Im B'Koyle Sishmo. Mashiach can come today if we
say that.
So one of the things that they explain is that Mashiach, when he asked La'emas Osimar, it's not an actual, the expression La'emas Osimar does not mean an actual date that you can point to on the calendar. Under what conditions will Mashiach come? And the answer is, the conditions for Mashiach coming are always here, Hayoim, even today. But it has to be in B'Kol Tishmo. But that's what it means. Hayoim means in B'Kol Tishmo. The conditions for Mashiach coming are here already. Like we said before, the only thing that's preventing is Midas Adin. So we have to make it that even according to Midas Adin, we deserve Gola. We're going to talk about it.
Why didn't ask Midas Adin then? Why do we ask Mashiach?
So he asked Mashiach himself, and Mashiach himself is telling him, the fact is, from my point of view, there's no delay.
Right.
From the Eibush's point of view, there's no delay.
Yes,
from your point of view, you have to be worthy of it, and therefore that's it. Hayoim in B'Kolos Hishmo. That's what it means. Shalu Talmidim Rabbi Yosi ben Kisma. One time Rabbi Yosi ben Kisma's Talmidim asked him, Amosai ben David Bach.
Let me ask you a question. Why did you ask him when he was coming? Because we said that nobody knows the Eibush the Cheshbon. Again,
so maybe that's why he asked for Emas Osimar rather than asking for a calendar date. He was asking what are the conditions that are required for Mashiach to come, and therefore the answer is correct. Hayom B'Kol Tishmo. By the way, I mean Marshall points out the Kol of Hashem. Yeah. By the way, Marshall points out on the face of it, you have to have Elio coming the day before Mashiach comes. So in that case, then he didn't even have to wait till the next day. He could ask Elio right away. Yudok didn't come yesterday. The answer is though that no. If the Geula comes in a way of Achishena, like we said before, where it can come at any time, you don't necessarily need Eliyahu to come before. And in fact, the Rambam writes in Hilchos Melachim, Yesh Omrim that Eliyahu will come before Mashiach, but not everybody agrees to that, because it depends on the Be'itah versus Achishena. Okay.
But Eliyahu will know if it's Achishena?
Because the Eibushter will send him.
Still come up in a...
But no, he may come together with... If it's Achishena, then he can come together with Mashiach. He doesn't have to come before. Okay. Charlotte Tom Vidal Sarasi bin Kis. Amos said Ben David Bo, when is Mashiach coming? Omar, he says, Misyara and Ishama Tabakhu many times. Yeah, well, that's Jewish people throughout the generations.
Even though they were told so many times that nobody's going to reveal it to them, they're still asking.
They're still asking because when something is important to you, you ask. When something is important to you, think of like a little kid, for example. You may tell a kid, how long are we in there? Five more minutes. Within 5 minutes, they're going to be asking again when we're there already, you know? So that's the attitude we adults should be having towards B'Yisrael Mashiach. When are we going to be there?
When are we there yet?
Yeah.
When Yaakov said the Shina went
doesn't mean that we still don't need to be asking over and over to show that it's important to us. If it's not important to you, Chas V'Shalom, then yeah, you don't bother asking.
But are we there yet?
That was a different generation. This is an earlier time. So they asked Rabbi Yitzchak Kisma, Amos said Ben David Bo, when is Ben David coming? Omer, he answers, Misyara Nishema Tivakshu Meni Ois. I'm afraid that you're going to ask me for a sign.
Right.
Omer Loi, Eino Nama Vakshin Mo Choi. So, okay, we won't ask you for a sign. Omer Lohem, he answers them, L'chshiyipol Hashar Hazeh, when this gate falls, Rashi says that they were in Rome, and that he was pointing to a gate there in the city of Rome. Again, according to the Al-Sheikh, it might mean the Roimi that's in Eretz Yisrael. The Yibonan, it'll be rebuilt. The Yipol, and it'll fall down again. The Yibonan, the Yipol, it'll be rebuilt again for a third time, and then it'll fall down. The Enmas, because of Noisa, and they won't have a chance to rebuild it, Ad Sheben David Bo, and by that time, Mashiach will be here. So they said to him, Rabbeinu ten lanu ois, give us a sign. Now why are they asking for a sign if they just said, hold on. Omrulahem v'loy kachamartim li sheinatim vachim many ois. Didn't you just tell me you're not going to ask for an ois? Omrulay v'achafitain, they say, nevertheless, we want an ois. Okay, so what's going on over here? So Ben Yoyada talks about
the... Can you give us a knife, please?
Okay, so Ben Yoyada talks about the idea that there's two different things within the question itself. There's the date when Mashiach's going to come, and there's a sign when we know that Mashiach's going to come. So the conversation turned on that point. In other words, that they were originally asking. He says, I want you to ask me for a sign. Meaning, I don't want you to ask me for a sign for a guarantee of what date Mashiach is going to be here. But now, when he gave them a siman, then they have the ability to ask for an oath. How we know that siman itself is going to happen. Rabbi Heber talks about in his Sefer Kol Yisrael a little bit of a different nuance that. At first, they're asking under the impression that Mashiach might be coming fairly soon. But then when he tells them that it's going to be a long process, this gate is going to be rebuilt and full and rebuilt, etc., which is something that can take hundreds of years. This is Rabbi Yosef ben Kisma answering the question. Rabbi Yosef ben Kisma answers. Then realizing that it's going to be still far off, they have to ask.
So wait a minute. Mashiach said Hayom, and it meant Krishna is...
In Bekola Tishmo. Rabbi Yosef ben Kisma maybe is talking about a longer term. He's talking about the Be'ita. Mashiach is talking about Achishana.
Better than Mashiach.
Be'ita and Achishana. There's Be'ita, where there's a certain fixed time, where there have to be certain things have to happen, and a certain Savior or whatever. And then you have Achishana, where you go beyond all that. Okay. Amalayim imkach. So he says, if so, if you need a simin, yehof komei ma'oras pamyas v'dam. Then let the waters of the pamyas cave, which is the source of the Yarden River, let them turn into blood, which is like a simin of the beginning of the geula, that is like makas dam in Mitzrayim. But nevchol adam, and sure enough, it turned into blood to show that even though yes, Mashiach may still be far off, at least the beita of Mashiach, nevertheless, the process is beginning even now.
No one knows about that.
Okay. B'shach p'tir also Amalehen, at the time of when Rabbi Yosef ben Kisma was about to pass away, Amalehen, he says to his Talmidim, Hamikul li aroini, make sure you put my aron deep, deep into the ground. Because eventually there's going to be an invasion of Eretz Yisrael by Mohammed Gog and Magog. She'en kol dekel v'dekel shebo bavel. There won't be a single palm tree in Bavel she'en shusra parsiyim nikshavoy, that there won't be a Persian horse tied to it. Because they'll be preparing for war. And there won't be a single coffin in Eretz Yisrael that the horses of Madai will not be eating straw out of. So therefore, make sure you bury me deep in the ground so they don't end up digging up my caver and using it as a stall for the Median's horses to eat out of. No. In other words, part of the Madai are going to come and then conquer Bavel and then come to Eretz Yisrael and conquer that. So, yeah. Amar Rab, Ein Ben David Bat Ad Shetespashet Alam Hamalchus Al Yisrael Tisha Chadashit. Ben David, the Mashiach, won't come until the Malchus, meaning Malchus Harasha, meaning the Romans, spreads out and over the entire Jewish people for 9 months. Shenema, Lochein Yitnem Ad Es Yeleda Yolada, as the Pasuk says, therefore he will give them over, meaning in the hands of their enemies, until the time when a woman gives birth, meaning 9 months. The Yeser Echav Yeshuvan al Bnei Yisrael, and then the rest of his brothers will return to Bnei Yisrael, and others they'll be the Geula. The point being, Maharshal says, usually you have throughout the Golos, the Eibishter has never allowed that all of the Jewish people are under the control of one power, because then that power would have the ability, Chas v'Shalom, to destroy the Jewish people. No, even Paras.
We were in Paras, you
were talking about the Kleiro Haman. Actually, there was a Medrash that says that there were other countries that Achshverosh formerly ruled over and then lost them. In which case, there may have been Jews in those countries as well. Yeah. So the Eibush doesn't allow that all the Jewish people should be under one foreign power, because then he could wipe out the Jewish people. Chas v'Shalom. Here we're saying that there's going to be a 9 month period when it is going to be that way, before Mashiach happens, or when the Roman Empire was or will or whatever rule over the Jewish people, all of the Jewish people for 9 months. I don't know what it means in modern terms. I mean, again, you know, you have Malchus Rasha, again, you still have the vestige of it, as in the popes and whatever, you know. So I don't know what it means exactly. Okay. Given the difficulties that are going to be before Mashiach comes, Ikvasid Mashiach, Oma Ula Yesi V'loy Echmine. So Ula says on this, let Mashiach come, but let me not see him. I don't want to be around when it happens, because the forests before Mashiach's times are going to be too difficult. And similarly, Rabbah said the same thing, let Mashiach come, but I don't want to see him. On the other hand, Rabbi Yosef, I'm a Yesi, let Mashiach come. Let me at least have the schus even to sit in the shadow of the dung of his donkey. In other words, even at the lowest possible level, I get to see Mashiach come.
Despite the
Saras and everything.
He was blind.
Well, okay, so actually... The Rebbe talks about the point that it's brought in Sfarim that Rabbi Yosef was blind because he didn't want to look outside of his Dalet Amos, because he didn't want to look at the world outside there with all the Truma and everything. He was afraid of what effect it might have on him. Well, he's saying when Mashiach comes, I don't have to worry about that. Then I can see him.
Wait a minute. He was blind because he didn't want to.
Because he didn't want to look outside of his Dalet Amos.
Yeah. What do you mean? Why he became blind? Because of
so therefore, in other words,
yeah. You saw that in the Rebbe's.
The Rebbe talks about it in a Sicha, yeah.
We were talking about that before, so you saw.
So I was looking it up in connection with this, from Rebbe's. So I guess it strained his eyes. I don't know, but whatever. That's what I mean. So there's
real Mefarshim talking about
that. The real Mefarshim, the Rebbe is also real Mefarshim.
No, I'm just saying.
Okay.
I finally found it.
The Rebbe actually goes on to say, what's it, first of all, I mean, the other Mefarshim, I think the Maharal, talk about the idea of the shadow of the dung of his donkey, meaning even the donkey, which represents very gross gashmias, like we said before, Meloshon Chomer, and the dung of it is an even lower level of gashmias, and the shade is like an insubstantial thing of that. Still, Rabbi Yosef is saying, I want to have some kind of connection to Mashiach even through that. The Rebbe talks about Masicha from Lamed Vav, the idea that Rabbi Yosef is making the point that even the dung of Mashiach's donkey is still able to cast a shadow, in the sense that even that slight connection with Mashiach is enough to be able to save us from the troubles and challenges of the world around us. It's able to be like a shadow to us. And therefore, in that sense, Rabbi Yosef, who is the great honor of Omer Rabbi Yosef, Latisna Nava Di Ikana, as the Gemara says at the end of Sota, he's the one who specifically expressed himself like that. Say that even that lowest thing related to Mashiach is still a great thing, and halavai, I have the source for it.
How come the Gemara doesn't cite the Baal Shem Tov's word, Kishel, for 2 minutes? When is Mashiach going to come?
Because the Baal Shem Tov lived 1,500 years after the sin of the Gemara. Okay, so the Gemara is...
Must know
this. The Chacham knew of it. Doesn't mean that the Eibishter gave him permission to reveal it. Everything in its time. Hakol also Yachavita. Omalei Abaya Lurabba. So Abaya asks Rabba, why are you so afraid of the time before Mashiach comes? My time, Ilema Mashum Chevle Shal Mashiach, are you afraid because of the Chevle Mashiach? Which means, Rashi says Chevle Mashiach, two explanations. One is Chevle means Goroloi, the Gorol of Mashiach, meaning like what's destined to happen before Mashiach comes. The second explanation, Rashi says Chevle means the fright and the birth pangs that are going to be from that time, from the Goyish armies or whatever. Is that what you're afraid of? Well, Tanya, but we learn in a Brisa, Shalot Talmud of Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Elazar Talmud asked him, Mayasa Odomi Notam Chevle Shemashiach, Taka, what should a person do to be saved from the Chevle Mashiach? The answer is Yasik Vatorah Gmilas Chasadim. You should be involved with Torah and Gmilas Chasadim. So what's the problem? V'homar, umar, ha-Torah, v'ho Gmilas Chasadim. And you, Rebbe, Rabba, you're Oisik in Torah, you're Oisik in Gmilas Chasadim. So what are you afraid of? Amalei, so Rabba tells him, yes, but Shema Yigra Machet. The problem is, maybe Averis might prevent that, nevertheless, even the schus of Torah and Gmilas Chasadim is not going to be enough. Kid Rabbi Yaakov Ba'idi, as we find that Rabbi Yaakov Ba'idi says, Rabbi Yaakov Ba'idi Rami, because Rabbi Yaakov Ba'idi pointed out a contradiction. See, the pasuk says, when Yaakov had his dream on Har Maria, the Eibush tells him, behold, I'm with you, I will guard you everywhere you go. But later on, in Parshas Vayishlach, when he's going to meet Esav, Yaakov was very afraid and he was troubled. What happened to the Eibush's promise? The answer is, Shari B'siyar, Shema Yigra Machet. He was concerned that he might have done Averis that take away the Eibush's protection.
That was after the Eibush spoke to him?
The Eibush spoke to him in Parshas Vayetze when he's on his way to Haran,
right,
at the beginning of Parshas Vayetze. Right. Later on, the beginning of Vayishlach, after 20 years in Haran, he's coming back to Eretz Yisrael, and he hears that Esav is on the war path. So now he's afraid. Why is he afraid?
In
Eibush promised.
He
could have done Averis during those 20 years. And by the way, they talk about, you know, there's a famous thing the Gemara brings and the Rambam brings, La Halacha, that whenever the Eibush gives a promise for good, it's never retracted. So what do you mean, Shema Yigra Machen? The answer is that only applies to a Nebuah that the Eibush tells a Navi to say. Here, this is a promise that the Eibush told Yaakov personally. You don't necessarily have that guarantee. You could have Shema Yigra Machen. That's the difference. If the Eibush tells a Navi to give a promise, to tell something to the Jewish people, we had on the previous Perek, you have to have a foolproof way of telling whether a person is a true Navi or not. That's how. But if the Eibush gives a promise to a person personally,
the promise that you get to Avinu that we would have the land of Israel is also not a promise.
Because later, first of all, no, the Eibush made a covenant with that. It's different. Because a covenant is not something that's breakable.
How do you know it's a covenant?
Because we know. What do you mean, how do we know? There was a bris ban of Sodom, and by Yaakov there wasn't a bris.
When you cut an animal in half and walk in between it, that's better than right.
Okay. Kidatanya, and as in fact we learn in a Braisa that we see that it's possible for Averis, to prevent something good that should have happened from happening. Namely, the Pasuk says in Shir HaSayam in Al Yashir, Ad Yavar Amcha, so we have the Pasuk, Ad Yavar Amcha Hashem, Ad Yavar Am Zukonisa. Why the double expression? Ad Yavar Amcha Hashem Zubir Hashem. Until your people pass over Hashem, this refers to the first coming in Eretz Yisrael. Ad Yavar Am Zukonisa, when it continues, until they pass over this people that you acquired for yourself, Zubir Hashem. This refers to the second coming after Golos Babel, to build the second message. Emer Me'asa, well, you have to say on the basis of that, since the Pasuk is comparing those two beers. Re'uyim ho'y Yisrael lasus lam nes v'yashniya kibir Roshayna. By rights, the Jewish people ought to have had Nisim happen to them the second time they came, in the time of Ezra. They should have had Nisim happen that they, for example, Rashi says they should be able to, instead of having to come under the permission and the protection of the kings of Persia, they should be able to just leave without the permission and then to go out and with a show of force, be Bnei Yisrael Yotzim Biyad Rama, just like the first time around out of Mitzrayim. But the Averis that they were doing, in particular intermarriage, prevented that from happening. And therefore, they only had a Tevet they could go for.
Intermarriage,
yeah. So that is described in Sefer Ezra and in Sefer Nechemiah.
You mean when they were in Babel?
Yeah, some of it was happening already when they were in Babel. We learned a few days ago, we had the whole thing involving Yeshua Kohen Gadol, why were his clothes burnt when he was in there with the two false Nevi'im, because his sons were marrying unsuitable women.
Oh, because his sons were marrying.
Yeah, and that's already... Not the whole Jewish people, but the point is, because there were enough of them that were doing this, therefore that prevented Nisim from happening the second time around. That was during Golis.
Who are the other two people in the oven with him? I forgot.
Achav and Kailoya and Sitkio Ben something.
Isn't Sitkio the good king?
Sitkio was a king. This is a different Sitkio. It's common enough.
Now that's what was got in the
confusion. Achav and Sitkio are both names of kings, but here they were two other people who were false Nevi.
Oh, they're not even kings.
They're false Nevi. Yeah, we had the whole story the other day about them.
Yeah, I heard it on my tape.
Achav and Kerloya and Sikio ben Maseh. Okay, onward. Okay, so the point is that you said, therefore, Rabbah says, you're telling me that you can be saved from Chevle Mashiach using the Torah and Gnosis of him, but after all, what if Shema Yigra Machet? And as we learn in Tanya on the first page, that Rabbah mistakenly thought that he was a Benini, that he's capable of doing Averis, that if we have reason to be concerned.
No, sorry, it seems it's true. Yeah, we finally figured it out.
No, it's a Tzadik Gomer who's conquered Yetzer Hara. All right. Similarly, Rabbi Yechanan said, the same as Rabbah and the same as Ula, that let Mashiach come, but I don't want to see him come because of the Tzoris of that time. Amalei Rish Lakish. So again, Rish Lakish asked Rabbi Yechanan, why? What are you afraid of? Are you afraid on the basis of the following pasuk that says, Kasha Yonus Ish Mipnei Ha'ari, and this is the context, Marshall says, the context of the pasuk is talking about the Geula, but it describes how before it, it'll be like when a person is running away from a lion, Uf Goy Hadoiv, and then a bear meets up with him. So now he's safe from the lion, but now he's in danger from the bear.
Why is he safe from the lion?
Because let's say the lion, he managed to run away from the lion, but then he meets up with a bear.
The bear is bigger.
Uf Baha Bayis, then he comes into the house, the Samach Yodel Akir, he rests his arm against the wall, like now he can relax, and all of a sudden a snake bites him. In other words, like one sorta comes after another. And Marsha says these four expressions in the pasuk actually refer to the four kingdoms, the four malchus. The lion is Babel, as we said before, Nebuchadnezzar is compared to a lion. The bear is Persia. The house represents coming into the house represents Golos Yavam when the Bismuth was still standing. And the snake represents Golos Edrei. So therefore, are you afraid? So is that the kind of thing you're afraid of? There's going to be one sorta after another.
Where did that come from? What? Explanation.
Marsha.
Marsha.
Wow. So the question is, Rav Shlokish saying to Rav Yechon, is that what you're afraid about? These kind of unending troubles before Mashiach comes? Fine. Big deal. I can show you an example of that in our world currently, where a person goes from one sada to another. Bizman shadim yotzel of sada. Imagine a person goes out to his field, or pogaboy santer, and he meets up with the santer. Rashi says the santer is the person who's in charge of knowing where the borders of the fields are. So therefore, what happens is, we had him in Bava Basra. So what happens is you meet up with him, he may all of a sudden tell you, hey, you thought your field went until here, but I just resurveyed it and discovered your field only goes till here. What a sorry you have that now you're missing some of your land. Yeah. The Yad Ramah says differently. The Santer, you have to pay him for his surveying. So therefore, like, he all of a sudden you meet up with him, and all of a sudden you owe him. Yeah, knew where the money, where not 20% of your land is gone, but knew where the money that you owe me for the surveying.
Or
Domesh Kamisha Pogged. So Domesh Kamisha Pogged by Avi. So such a person feels as if they just encountered a lion. Nichnas Leir, then the person goes back into the city, Pogged by Gabai, and he meets up with a tax collector. Doima Kamisha Pogged Dove, and now all of a sudden the sense of a bear is encountering him. Nichnas Leir, so then the poor guy goes home. Umotza Bonner of Nois and Motol and Barab, he finds his sons and daughters are hungry, Chazar Shalom. Doima Kamisha Noshche Nochash, and he feels like a snake bit him. So you have the same kind of thing of Soros, one Soros leading to another out of the frying pan into the fire you have nowadays. Why should Ikvus the Mashiach? Why should the Chevel Mashiach be any worse than that?
Is that the curse that we have in Balos? I don't remember.
In Balos?
No. Kisava. In the morning.
Maybe. Yeah, kind of like that, I guess. Yeah. Ella, no. Rather, the reason. Yeah, indeed. Okay. Ella, no. The reason Rabbi Yochanan says why I'm so afraid of Chevel Mashiach is like this. Mishum Dechtiv, because you have a pasuk that says like this. Shalu no ru'u im yolad zachar. Yirmiyah says, ask around and find out, does a male ever give birth? Obviously not. Well, then, the point is, in that case, madua ra'isi ko geva yodav achalotav kayeleda, in that case, why am I seeing every man, or every strong man particularly, with his hands on his hips, like a woman who's giving birth, like this, v'nefku koponim liyerokin, and all faces are turning green or pale. What does this pasuk mean? My ra'isi ko geva. First of all, what does the pasuk mean? I saw every geva. Omer rava ba'yitzchok, omer rav, mish kol gvura shaloi. It means the one to whom all power belongs. Meaning, Rashi says it means the Eibishter himself. The Eibishter himself is like having pain at the time when it's time to bring Mashiach. The Eibishter himself is in pain, as the Gemara is going to say soon, like Kaviyachol, what to do. So therefore, like the Eibishter is also straining like a woman in labor. The Yad Ramah, on the other hand, says that no, Mishakol Gvura Shaloi means every powerful person. He says Beferish, not like Rashi, Chas V'Shalom, he says, to say like Rashi, that the Eibishter has any selfish what to do. Okay, two different explanations. Not the Eibishter is not suffering, but the Gemara is going to go on to say that the Eibishter himself is unsure what to do. So the Yad Ramah says that can't be what it means. The Eibishter is not a person. The Eibishter doesn't have any faith. On the other hand, this is what Rashi learns. Okay, anyway. So that's Devim is Mishakol Gvura Shalai. Umay Venechu Koponim Liyarokin. So why are all the faces turning pale? What's the matter? Rabbi Yochanan, first of all, what are all the faces? Pamal Yishamaylo, Pamal Yishamasa. It means the Pamal Yishamaylo, the Malachim up above in Shamayim, and the Jewish people down below. Namely, B'shar Sha'amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, namely, there comes a point in history when the Eidishter says, before it comes time to bring Mashiach, Halolo Masa Yodev, Halolo Masa Yodev. After all, the Jewish people are created by me. The Goyim are also created by me. Heyach Abed Elu Mitne Elu. How can I destroy one group of the Goyim in favor of the other, the Jewish people?
Oh, the Goyim would love that.
Part. Right. So now when the Malachim and the Jewish people hear that the Kaviyachol, the Eidishter himself, is deliberating like that, everybody turns pale. Like, what's going to happen? So therefore, it's sort of like what happened by Kriyas Yam Suf. So therefore, Rabbi Yochanan says that's what I'm afraid of at that period.
Wow.
Because that there should be at that period when it's hanging in the balance, is the Eibishter going to save the Jewish people or Chas V'Shalom the opposite?
Yeah, but brief, how can you say not sure whether he's going to save it?
Well, after all, the Eibishter does end up, but nevertheless, the very fact there has to be that deliberation. So actually, again, Yad Ramah says here, obviously, we are talking about the Eibishter. So he says we're not talking about the Eibishter as any selfish, of course not. The Eibishter has no spakers, but it means the way the Eibishter expresses it, the Eibishter expresses himself in this way in order to show what a major thing he's accomplishing by bringing Mashiach. Like, everybody else should seem to everybody else as though, like, there's a suffix, as though, like, it's hanging in the balance. The Eibishter himself, of course, knows the truth all along. Anyway, the point is, Rabbi Yochanan is saying, but here we're talking, so there is, that's a good point, actually, in Chassidus, that's a very good point. In Chassidus, it talks about that there is a level of Alakurs at which we say, Haloi Och Esav V'Yakov Nu Mashem, that after all, Esav and Yaakov are on an equal level, and yet V'Oyev Es Yaakov, and Eidish just still loves us, Milamayla Mitam Badat. So yeah, that could very well relate to this Gemara. And actually, now that you mention it, actually, some of the Mepharshim say something that probably fits with that also, that there's a difference whether you're talking according to Midas Adin or Midas Arachmin. Sure, if Mashiach is going to come mitzad midas harachamim, then fine, very good. The problem with that is that leaves room for this kind of argument. Why should I have rachmanis on the Jewish people any more than on the goyim? Mashenkin, if the ruler comes from Tzad Midas Adin, then of course, there can't be any suffix. On the other hand, though, it means, as we said before, that we have to deserve it according to Midas Adin. So therefore, anyway, Rabbi Yechon is saying, that's why I don't want to be around in the time of Chelet Mashiach, because that state of doubt is going to be too bad to live through.
Not because of the horrors, they're going to be just too
bad. So that's what we're saying, not so much the horrors. We said before, a person can exist, can experience horrors like that now. He's saying, because of this. Yeah. Amr Afal, Hainu da Amri Inshi, this is like the expression people say, Rohit b'nafel tod of Ozil, when the ox ran and when the ox was running and then it fell down, v'shodi le sutya ba'uye, and you put instead a horse in the stall. Meaning, Rashi says like this. So you have, imagine you have an ox that you use for plowing. Then the ox falls and gets hurt or whatever. Meanwhile, you put in a horse over there to take its place in the stall so you can use it for work. Eventually, when the ox heals, it's not so easy to get the horse out of there and replace it with the ox. So the same way, so to speak, the idea is like the Jewish people are like the ox. They were removed from the stall, were taken into Golos. The horse, the goyim, are put there instead. Now, when it comes time that Mashiach is supposed to come and the horse has to be removed and the ox put back in, it's not so easy to do. That's how Rashi learned it. The Adrama has a few questions on that explanation of Rashi. He explains that rather the expression is that even when an ox is lame, even when it fell down and hurt itself, it's still powerful enough to give the horse a kick and send it flying into its stall. And the point being, in other words, again, that yes, there is going to be Abed Elu Mutne Elu, there is going to be the Goyim are going to be set aside in favor of the Jewish people, but it's still not going to be such an easy process.
Why?
Okay, but on the other hand, again, mitzad midas adin, you can mitzad again mitzad midas rachamim.
We don't need any midas adin. We don't need any midas adin.
Yeah. Well, ultimately we do need midas adin. Ultimately, we do. You know what?
The goyim need it.
What it means is we need to be able to have Mashiach mitzad midas adin, because that's when that means that all the birurim have been completed. In fact, actually, in a few places, it talks about the idea.
We need midas adin on our side.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. Instead of talking about the idea, by the way, we know the Gemara says the Yud Nivra Olam Haba, the Hey Nivra Olam Hazeh, and there's some place, I think in the Sidurim Dach, I think it is, where it talks about the idea that Yud is associated with Din, and Hey is associated with Chesed. So therefore, this world is created with Chesed, Olam Chesed Yibana. The Olam Haba is created with Midas Adin, because you have to deserve Alpi Din to be able to get in there. Yeah. Omer of Gidol Amarav, Asid in Yisrael the Achli Shnei Mashiach. The Jewish people are going to enjoy the plentifulness of Yemos Mashiach. The plentifulness that will be in that time will be for the Jewish people. Omer of Yosef Shita, sort of Yosef says, of course, Ve'alaman Ochelah, who else is supposed to enjoy that plentifulness? Chilik or Bilik, Achli Lahu. Do you expect that Chilik and Bilik are going to? Who are Chilik and Bilik? Rashi says three explanations. One is that Chilik and Bilik is like just random names of people, like Shadim and then Shadis and whatever. Another explanation Rashi brings is based on another explanation. Rashi says that Chilik and Bilik are expressions of destruction, so like destructive people or whatever. And then Rashi says a third explanation that it means that these are actually two names of Dayanim of Sdoim, or we're named that. So like it's an expression meaning like the really bad elements of society.
Bad changes.
So of course, who else is going to have Yemos Mashiach if not the Jewish people? The answer is Lapukim Rab Hillel. What Rabbi Yosef
and the nations also would enjoy.
So Rab Gidol is coming to tell us not like Rab Hillel, the Omar, that he says on the next Omar, Ein Mashiach liYisrael Shekvar Achlu v'mei Chizkiyah. He says there is no Mashiach for the Jewish people because they already consumed it in the time of Chizkiyah. So Rab Gidol wants to tell us not like that. Now, what on earth does Rab Hillel? Do you need to ask a question? You don't think anybody before you has ever asked a question?
It's such a strong question.
So,
it still needs to be asked.
So there are many, many different answers. Rashi himself on the next Omud says that what Rav Hillel means is that the Eibishter himself will rule and take us out of Golos. You don't need a human Mashiach. There's many, many, many other explanations among the Rishonim and Achronim. There is, for example, the Sefer Ikrim talks about it at the very beginning of the Sefer, because we know that Amram says there's 13 Ikrim of Yiddishkeit, and one of them is that there's going to be Mashiach, and here we have Rabbi Hillel saying no. So the Sefer Ikrim argues, maybe according to that, you can see maybe it's not one of the Ikrim of Yiddishkeit then. So he starts by saying no, maybe...
The
Sefer Ikrim is also a Rishon, he's entitled to argue with the Rambam. So he says a couple of possibilities. It might be Rabbi Hillel means, of course there's going to be Mashiach, but there's no clear proof to it from Sukkim. Or he might mean that there is going to be a geula, of course, but like similar to what Rashi says, it doesn't necessarily need to involve a human geula. It can be Mashiach himself. It can be, they talk about it, he might mean that Mashiach will come and immediately after that will be the Eibishter will rule, like Mashiach never actually has to rule at any time. They talk about different other possibilities. Or Hillel might mean that Mashiach is not going to come in the schus of the Jewish people. I think the Abarbanel says this as an explanation. That it means Mashiach is not going to come. The Jewish people are not going to have schusim at that point that are sufficient to bring Mashiach. Ein Mashiach liYisrael. Mashiach is going to come, but not because of the Jewish people's schusim.
Oh, so.
Because Shekvar Achluv and Mechizkiah, because all those schusim they already used up in the time of Chizkiah. And then there's another explanation similar to what you were just saying before you asked the question, which is that maybe what Reb Hillel means to say in Mashiach Yisrael, that the goodness of that time will be equally enjoyed by everybody in the world, as opposed to Reb Hillel saying that no, it's primarily Asid Yisrael to ask the name Mashiach. The Jewish people are going to be the primary beneficiaries. So you have a lot of different explanations of what Reb Hillel said. With all that said, by the way, the Chassam Sofer writes in a Tshuva. So that Vaz points out based on this, by the way, you see that if somebody makes a mistake in an ikar of a munah, not necessarily does that make him an apikoris. This Reb Hillel, he's saying that on the surface at least, that there's not going to be Mashiach, which is an ikar of Yiddishkeit. We don't consider it an apikoris, and yet we don't. We quote him in the Gemara.
Right,
yes.
To ask you the question.
With that said, though, the Chassam Sofer says, the Rambam would say, which is what the Chassam Sofer writes in one of his Shuvahs, that fine, Reb Hillel was entitled to his opinion in his time, but since the consensus is not like that, and the Gemara itself later on is going to point out that we have a proof against him, the consensus is not like that. There is going to be Mashiach. There is going to be a Yomayis Mashiach for a certain period of time. Therefore, if a person were to say, nowadays, I agree with Reb Hillel, Zayn Mashiach Yisrael, then he kind of would be a kosher.
And
Reb Hillel himself was entitled to, the Chassam Sofer said, same principle as, for example, you find in the Gemara that you have an opinion of Reb Yossi Agrivi, you're allowed to eat chicken with milk. But that's not the halacha. If a person does that nowadays, they're eating tzareifas. Same way as Rabbi Eliezer holds, you're allowed to make a knife for a bris mila on Shabbos. Doesn't mean right, exactly. It means they had their opinion, very nice, but it was overruled, it was outvoted. Same idea over here. Okay. All right. Rabbi Hillel was an Amor. I think they say he was a brother of Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya. So he was a grandson of Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya. Okay. Yeah. The world was created only for David and Shmuel, meaning the ones who praise the Eibishter. In the schust of David, who was going to say so many praises for the Eibishter, is why the world was created. Marsha actually says differently. Marsha understands Alma to mean eternity, not world as in space, but eternity in time. The fact that there's an eternity of time is in the course of David and his shiras with the shvachos. Shmuel says that it's for the sake of Moshe that he's who received the Torah. They point out, by the way, Rav is descended from Beis David, so therefore he says that David is the most important person. Shmuel was a Kohen, he's closely related to Moshe. Therefore, to him, Moshe is the most important one. And Rabbi Yechanan says that it was created for the sake of Mashiach. The Rebbe actually once pointed out in a Sicha that each one of them actually, they all blend together because we know Mashiach is going to have the qualities of David, as the Gemara itself is going to say soon, and Mashiach is going to have the qualities of Moshe, who goyo rishon, who goyo achron. So in that sense, all of them are talking about different aspects of Mashiach.
But he's still Mashiach.
Yeah. Mashmoy, famous question, what is the name of Mashiach? Dvei Reb Shila Amri Shiloi Shmoy. In the yeshiva of Reb Shila, they said that his name is Shiloi, Shinema Ad Ki Yove Shiloi. Dvei Reb Yanai Amri Yinon Shmoy. In the yeshiva of Reb Yanai, they said his name is Yinon. Shenem Lihi Shmoy La'olam. His name will be forever. Lifnei Shemesh, even before the sun, because the name of Mashiach is one of the things that was created before the world. Yinon Shmoy. His name is Yinon.
Yinon.
The simple meaning of the word Yinon and the pasuk over there is he'll have descendants or he'll be prominent or whatever. But the Gemara is darshaning it as a name of Mashiach. Marsha explains that the vote is also each of these names also represents a different quality of Mashiach. Shiloh is that a Shiloh that all the nations will bring a present, Yinon that will be distinguished, etc.
Yinon means distinguished,
yeah. Marsha also points out, by the way, the nuns can interchange with hays, and certainly you have different cyphers by which letters of the aleph phase can be transformed into other ones. There's one called Atbach in which hay and nun are interchangeable, therefore Yinon comes out to Yudke Vavke. It means that the Mashiach has within him the name of the Eibishter. Dvei Rav Chanina Amma Chanina Shmai. In the Yeshiva of Rav Chanina, they said his name is Chanina. Shenema Asher Le'etim Lachem Chanina. As the pasuk says, that there's going to be a Golus Bavel, and you're not going to have Chanina, implying that in the future you will. The Yeshayim is Menachem Ben Chizkiya Shmai. In Yeshayim, his name is Menachem Ben Chizkiya. Shenema Ki Rochak Meni Menachem Meshiv Nafshi. Because the Menachem, the one who's going to restore my soul, is far away. Where they get Ben Chizkiya, that was the Kabbalah, but that was the Kabbalah. But actually, the Reb Levi points out in Lechut Levi Yitzchak that you have a remez to it in that the initials of the letters the initials of the words Menachem Meshiv Nafshi Mem Mem Nun are the same gematria as the word Chizkiya, and the Sofer Tevis the Sofer Tevis Mem Beis and Yud are the same gematria as the word Ben. So there you get Ben Chizkiya out of the beginning and end of those words. There's a famous vote, by the way, which is brought that they bring it from the Vilna Gaon. Reb Levick also mentions it over there, that the initials of these four names spell out Mashiach: Menachem, Shiloh, Yinon, and Chanina.
Oh, nice.
So therefore, it expresses the idea. The Maharal says the idea is that Mashiach is going to incorporate the point is that the fact that we're saying he has several names means Mashiach incorporates all of the qualities of all the Chachamim throughout the generation. Therefore, in the Yeshiva of Reb Shila, they saw that their Rebbe Reb Shila had a certain aspect of Mashiach within him, and therefore they focused on that name. In the Yeshiva of Reb Yanai, they focused on that, etc. And each Rebbe has within him a certain aspect of Mashiach.
That's in the name.
So therefore, we have that in the Yeshiva of Reb Shila. They said Shiloh Shmoi, etc. It's brought, by the way, that Reb Shachna, who was the Rebbe of the Rama and also his father-in-law, said that there's another one. The pasuk says L'shichna Sidrashu. The pasuk says you should seek the Eved Shichna, meaning the Beis Mikdash, and therefore the Rebbe is from there. The name of Mashiach is Shachna. So he, in other words, he knew on himself that he's capable
so
of being the Mashiach.
So what's the name that becomes all the other names?
Mashiach. The Rabbanan Amri, the Rabbanan say, Chivra Debe Rebbe Shmoy. Mashiach is called the Mitzora of the household of Rebbe. Shenema, as the Pasuk says, Ochin Choloyenu. Okay, he has to go. Shenema, as the Pasuk says, Ochin Choloyenu Hu Nasa. As the Pasuk says in the famous chapter 53 of Yeshaya, that the missionary is always trying to use, it says, Ochin Choloyenu Hu Nasa. Indeed, he's had to bear our sicknesses. He had to carry on him our pains. And we thought of him as just being a mitzvah, who was struck by Hashem and afflicted, and really it turns out that he's Mashiach. So therefore, he's chivra de bei Rebbe. The Rebbe talked about it in a sicha one time. The idea is, it talks about chassidus in the Kutei Torah, it talks about the idea that a mitzvah is actually somebody on a fairly high level in ruchnius. He has flaws, but the flaws are of the chesonius. But the flaws are on the chesoniusic level, and therefore it comes out on his skin, on the chesonius of him. So therefore it expresses the idea. Mashiach is the same kind of thing. Like at the time when Mashiach comes, the deeper rooted problems are already going to have been taken care of. So all that's left is the superficial things. Therefore he's spoken of as a Mitzvah. Amar Rav Nachman, imin chayayahu, if Mashiach is from among the living, kagoyin anna, then an example of who Mashiach could be is me. Shenema, Rav Nachman was the son-in-law of the Reish Kabul, so therefore he had political power at that time, and he was also, as we know, one of the great chachamim, he was one of the great amiroim. So therefore, that would be an example. Shenema, as the pasuk says, v'hoya adirei mimenu, the powerful one will be from within him, from the Jewish people, or mostly, and his ruler, mikiba yete, will come from within himself. Meaning, in other words, Rav Nachman is saying that I myself am an example of what Mashiach could be. He was also, well, so he was a son-in-law of the, of he Marshall says, he himself may have been from Zerah Beis David also.
He had to be.
That's according to this, he had to be. Omer Rav, imin chayayahu, if Mashiach is from among the living, then Rabbeinu HaKadosh, then it must be Rabbeinu HaKadosh, because Rashi says Rabbeinu HaKadosh was, like we said before, he suffered illnesses and pains throughout his life. He was a chassid, he was a tremendous chassid. So Rashi's first explanation is when we say kigoyin, it doesn't mean like Rebbe as if it could be somebody else. It means it must be Rebbe. He's the only possible candidate from nowadays, Rav is saying. The second explanation, Rashi says, is if there's an example of somebody who's, if you want from the, among the people who are living now, an example of what Mashiach is like, an example would be Rabbeinu HaKadosh.
So one says
that it means the actual one who, yeah, that, and the other one sees an example, yeah. You mean Messiahu, and if Mashiach is from the non-living, then it would be like Daniel Ish Hamudis. Again, according to the two explanations, according to the first explanation of Rashi, it means Mashiach could conceivably be somebody who is no longer living and will come alive and tzeis ha-meitim, and therefore who would be Daniel. According to the second explanation, it means you want an example from among those from previous generations, an example of what Mashiach would be like, an example would be Daniel. This is a famous discussion that they always have, whether Mashiach can be somebody who comes back and tzeis ha-meitim. By the way, the Abarbanel writes in one of his sforim on the topic of Mashiach, he writes in his Sefer Yeshua's Meshicha, he says, yes, we see from this Gemara, indeed, that Mashiach could be somebody who comes back and tzeis ha-meitim.
Should come back before
Tchias. It would mean it's brought in various sforim that there are going to actually be two Tchias Amesim, one specifically for the Tzaddikim and one for the general public. Amar of Yehuda Amar Rav, Osir HaKadosh Baruch Hu Lahamad Ben David Achar. The Eivishter is eventually going to set up for the Jewish people another David. The Mashiach is going to be another David who's going to rule over them. The Pasuk says they'll serve Hashem their God and their King David, whom I will set up for them. Hakim by Nemar doesn't say that he did set him up in the past. Ela Akim, I will set him up in the future. But doesn't the Pasuk say that David, my servant, will be the Nasi over them forever?
Yeah.
So, in other words, not another David, but the original David himself. The answer is going Kaiser or Palgi Kaiser. It'll be like there'll be like an emperor and a vice emperor. Meaning Rashi says it means that Mashiach will be the emperor, and David, the original David, who comes back alive by Tzias Mason, will be like his vice emperor.
Right.
Some of the Mephoshim learn the other way around, but it's interesting. The Rebbe talks about Nesicha from Memches that why of all things is the Gemara using the foreign term, the Roman term Kaiser, to describe Mashiach and David? And the answer is that Rebbe explains on the basis of a Tosfos and Avodah Zarah that why are the Roman emperors called Caesar anyway? They're all named that after Julius Caesar.
Right.
Why is Julius Caesar named that? Because he was born by Caesarian section.
Right.
He was born in an unnatural way, and therefore it represents the idea that Mashiach is going to be something completely beyond Derech HaTeva. He's going to be a completely different type of a person, basically. And his rulership and Mashiach Titan is going to be a whole different type of existence than we're familiar with.
It's also spelled out in Kaiser.
Yeah, Kaiser, the word Kaiser comes from that. Well, yeah, it all comes from the same Latin word. Darash Reb Simloi, my tachbib, what does it mean? A pasuk says, Hoi hamis avim et yom Hashem, woe to those, this is actually a pasuk a few psukim earlier than that one we quoted earlier on the Amud Kasha, Yonus Ishmet Nehari. Woe to those who desire the day of Hashem, which means Pashtos, the time of Mashiach. Lama ze lachem yom Hashem, what are you looking forward to the day of Hashem? Hoi means negatively. Why are you looking forward to the day of Hashem? Who choshech below earth? Darkness, it's not light. So what does that mean? Mashal l'tarnagol v'atalef shayim etzapim la'earth, like a chicken and a bat that were looking forward to the light, to the morning. Amalei tarnagol l'atalef, so the chicken, the rooster, so the rooster says to the bat, ani metzapim la'earth, fine, I have good reason to be waiting for the light. Sha'orah shalihu, daytime is my time. I have eyes to see, so I benefit from it. You, the bat, you don't have benefit from the daylight. What are you waiting for the light for? So the same way, what we're saying is the Jewish people are expecting the Geula any moment, and for us, it's going to be light. For the Goyim, it's going to be darkness. So what we're saying, when we say HaMitzavim Es Yem Hashem, like any Goyim, any Rishoyim who are looking forward, any Rishoyim among the Goyim who are looking forward to Yemos HaMashiach, what are you looking forward to? For you, it's going to be darkness. And in fact, we find in that connection that a min says to Rav Abohu, Eimasai osim Mashiach, when is Mashiach coming? Amalei, and Rav Abohu answers him, like indirectly, L'chi chofi l'hu chashaycha l'hanu inshi.
It was when, not such a min, I mean, if you believe the Mashiach.
Okay, fine. Amalei, L'chi chofi l'hu chashaycha l'hanu inshi. When darkness covers those people. He didn't want to directly say to the min, because he didn't want to insult him, but Amalei, but the guy wasn't fooled. He says, Mela kabaitali, you're cursing me. Amalei, so Rav Abohu says, no, Kroksiv, after all, you have a pasuk that says, Hinei Achoshech Yichas Ha'aretz, behold, darkness will cover the land, Va'arof Elohim, and thick clouds will cover the nations, Va'alayach Yizrach Hashem, but Hashem will shine on you, the Jewish people, Uchvodei Alayach Yirah, and his covered will be visible on you. So yes, in that sense, then, in other words, when is the time of Mashiach? When you have darkness for the Goyim and light for the Jewish people.
That goes against the previous Kroksiv, which said, Mashiach is for the nation.
Rehillel was the one who said that. Rehillel was the one who said that. We said we disagree with Rehillel. Okay. Tanya, Rabbi Eliezer, I mean, Yemos HaMashiach HaBoim Shana. Rabbi Eliezer says the period of Mashiach is going to last for 40 years. Meaning, in other words, this is the meaning. Now we talk about there's the idea that there's going to be two. The Rebbe talks about in a number of places in Sichas. There's going to be two periods within Yemos HaMashiach. We have the famous thing, the Gemara brings it further down on the Amud, you have the opinion of Shmuel, which the Rambam passes as halacha, that ein beina olam hazeh l'yemos ha-mashiach ha-shibul malchus bilvad, that there's no difference between nowadays and the time of the Mashiach, except that we won't be subservient to the goyim. So that's the first period of Mashiach's time. And then there's a second period when, and other than that, olam kamin hagen noyeg, the world will still function as it normally does. People will be born, people will die, wild animals will still prey, etc. And then you have the second period, which is when all the nisim, all the unusual things that we talk about that will are going to happen. So here we're talking about the length of the first stage. So Shanema, Boim Shana Okut Bader, that says for forty years I took hold of the nation. Rashi explains that Okut means I grab hold, the Lashon Nakat. So in other words, 40 years, and when we say Bader, implies a generation that's different than all the other generations that came before, namely the times of Mashiach.
Akut means I took care.
So the simple meaning of Akut means I argued against. In context, it actually says it's talking about the Dor HaMidbar, the 40 years I argued with them and didn't allow them to come into Israel. But because it says Akut in future tense, it can also refer to Yemos HaMashiach. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah in the Shivim Shana, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says it lasts for 70 years. Shenema, the passage says, "V'hoya b'yemahu, it'll be on that day. V'nishkachas Tzur Shivim Shana, Tzur, the famous commercial city of Tzur, will be forgotten and abandoned for 70 years. Kimei Melech Echad, like the years of one king. Now, Ezeo Melech Miyuchad, who is the unique, meaning important king, or Marshal says unique in the sense that he's going to be the only king at that time. Heviyem is a Mashiach. You must say it means Mashiach. So therefore, 70 years." Rebbe and the Shloisha Dodo, so Rebbe says it'll last for 3 generations. Shenema, the prophet says, Yiru'ucha im Shamash, they will fear you, Hashem, with the sun, the sun representing Mashiach, with Neshemek Yuna and Shemaya, as we said before, V'lefnei Yareach, and before Malchus Beis David, Dur Durim, for generation and generations. For generation, Malchus Beis David is compared to the moon. So therefore, Dur and Durim equals 3 generations. The Rebbe talks, by the way, in some place in a Sikha, from a Kest or Mem or something, that we know from elsewhere in the Gemara that once you have something lasting for 3 generations, there's a certain permanence to it, like you have, but the Gemara says in Rav Masiyah that once you have a person who he and his son and his grandson are all Talmid Chachamim, then Torah doesn't leave their family. In the same sense, then, when Rebbe is saying it'll last for 3 generations, is as much as to say it'll be permanent.
Where did we see that in the...
In Rav Masiyah. What? Yeah, Rav Masiyah. Okay. Rabbi Hillel loy ma'ein la'im Mashiach li'Yisrael shekvala chulu b'mechizia. Again, Rabbi Hillel says, as we quoted before, that there's not going to be a period of Mashiach for the Jewish people because they already consumed that in the time of Chizkiyah.
He still keeps his opinion after all these proofs.
Well, Omer Rabbi Yosef shrolei mori l'Rabbi Hillel. So Rabbi Yosef says the Eibishter should forgive Hillel for saying that, Rabbi Hillel for saying such a thing, that he says something that's blatantly incorrect. And after all, when did Chizkiyahu live during the time of the first Mishnah? But we find the Nabi Zechariah saying a Nevuah at the beginning of the second Mishnah about Mashiach. But Omer, and he says, Gili ma'oi bas Tzion, be very happy, daughter of Tzion. Hari'i bas Yerushalayim, sing forth, daughter of Yerushalayim. Hine malkech yavilach, behold, your king Mashiach is coming to you. Tzadik v'noshahu, he is a tzadik and he's saved by the Eibishter. On it from Golos, on Yivu Reich of Achamor, he's a poor person riding on a donkey, like we said before, while Ayur ben Asonis, and then on a young donkey, the son of a female donkey. Asonis, the female donkey. It's from a long line of donkeys, in other words. Yeah. The point being, in other words, that there you have Zechariah is giving a nevuah about Mashiach is going to come, and he is long after Chizkiyahu, he's like 200 years after Chizkiyahu, and he's talking about Mashiach. So it can't be Shekvar Achamor b'mei Chizkiyahu. It can't be that they already consumed the ability to have Mashiach in the time. It must be there's going to be an actual Mashiach in later times.
And that really took it on
conflict. That, yeah, apparently. Yeah. Okay. Tanya, we learn another bright that Rabbi Eliezer says, like he said before, that Yemos HaMashiach is 40 years, but we have a different limud for it. Not the pasuk from Tilim, Abayim Shon Ok Bader, but a different limud. The pasuk says in Parshas Ekev that Hashem afflicted you and made you hungry and gave you the money to eat. And you have a pasuk in Tilim, Samchenu Kimosi Nisanu. Make us happy an amount of time equal to the days you afflicted us. Shnos Re'inu Ra, the years in which we saw evil, meaning the time of Mashiach has to be equal to the time of affliction of eating of the time of affliction is the 40 years in the desert when they 8 months. Yeah. Rabdosa Amadalab Meishchana. Rabdosa says it's going to last 400 years. Because Ksiv Hocha Vavodim Vinu Oisim Avame Estrana. Because, yeah, it says that they're going to afflict them 400 years in Golos Mitzrayim. Ochtivatam, Samchenu Kamoisi Nisanam. It's the same thing. The joy has to be equivalent to the years in which we were afflicted in Mitzrayim. Rebbe Emma Gimel Meyat Vashishim B'chamash Shana Kaminin Yemaitachama. Rebbe says it will last for 365 years, equal to the number of days in the solar year. Shenema, as the pasuk says, Ki Yoyim Nokam Belibi. The Eibishter says there's a day of vengeance against the Goyim that's in my heart. Ushnas Geulai Ba, and the year of my Geula is coming. Then implying that it has to be a number of days equivalent to the number of days in a year.
What's that?
So in other words, if there's 365 days in a year, then it has to be a Moshe Mashiach. The year, Shnat Geulai Ba, implies that the number of years of Geula has to be equivalent to the number of days that are in a year. Rashi brings another Geirsa, not 365 years, but 365,000 years.
Because 1 year for the
Eibishter is 1,000 of our years, exactly. 1 day for the Eibishter is By the way, this that we mentioned before, and we're going to mention further down on the Almud about Ein Beinu Olam Hazeh L'Yimei Mashiach. The Alter Rebbe talks about in Tanya. It's going to be in Tanya in the next couple of days. That the Zohar says that's only for the Amei Aretz. So the Tamar HaChachamim, Mashiach is going to be a whole different kind of existence. My Yom Nokam Belibi. What does it mean when the pasuk says there's a day of vengeance in my heart? What do you mean in my heart? Yeah. It means I revealed it to my heart, the Eibishter is saying, Kavyachol, but I didn't reveal it to my limbs. Meaning, Rashi says, I didn't even speak it out. Like Kavyachol, the Eibishter is saying, even my limbs couldn't hear it. Now, of course, the Eibishter doesn't have limbs. It's a figure of speech. But it's figuratively that the Eibishter is saying, I didn't even speak it out. I kept it within myself. The Yad Ramah gives a couple of explanations. One is similar to that. The other is he says it means that the Evarim represent the Nevi'im. I didn't speak it out. I didn't tell it to the Nevi'im.
That's his Evarim?
That's according to, because again, the Yad Ramah makes this a point very forcefully. The Eibishter has no Evarim. If we're talking about over here Evarim, it must mean the Nevi'im. Reb Shimon Lakishama, Lelibi Gilisi, Lemalacha Asharis Lagilisi. Reb Shlakish says it a little differently. It means I spoke it, I revealed it to my heart, but not to the Malachim. So in other words, you have two different ways of looking at it. Did the Eibishter reveal it to the Malachim, just not to humanity, or not even to the Malachim? Tony Avimi Birei de Rabbahu, more opinions about how long Yemos HaMashiach is going to last. Yemos HaMashiach is still Shiva Salatim Shana. The time of Yemos HaMashiach for the Jewish people is going to be 7,000 years. Shenema, Mesoris Chosin HaKala, as the Pasuk says, like the time when a Chosin rejoices with a Kala, which is during the 7 days of Sheva Brachas, and again a day of the Eibishter is 1,000 years of ours. So the Eibishter will rejoice with you. The time of Mashiach will be equivalent to the number of years. Okay, Yemos Mashiach will be equivalent to the number of years that there were from when the world was created until now. Meaning, well, a little less. I mean, if Mashiach comes now, for example, in Tavshin Ayin, then it means 5,778 years. Yeah. Shenema kimei hashamayim al aretz, as the pasuk says, as the days of the heaven above the earth, meaning since the heaven was created above the earth. Rav Nachman Yitzchak kimei noyach ad achshav, it'll be equivalent to the time from noyach, from the Mabel until now. Shenema kimei noyach zoisli, as the pasuk says, as with the water of noyach, this will be for me, asher nishvati, that I promise that there'll never again be a Mabel, so we see it as zoisli, the same way as kimei noyach, the same way that will be the equivalent of time, the equivalent amount of time from Noach until now, that will be the time of Yemos
Mashiach.
And until what? In other words, we're now in the year 5778. The Mabel was about 4,100 years ago, so according to that, it would mean that Yemos Mashiach will be 4,100 years.
And then what's going to happen after that?
So then again, so you have we could be talking all the first stage of Mashiach, and then there's the second stage when the rest of the Tchias Nesim and the Tchias Nesim for the general public and all the Nisim, the ground growing ready to eat fruit, and the wild animals becoming peaceful, etc. Or it could be the Chad Charuv or Tzrei Charuv that we talked about before, the period during which the world is on a whole different level.
Destroyed, in other words?
Destroyed, as we said before, but not really destroyed, but rather like, so to speak, recreated from a Gashmiistic world into a much higher level of Gashmiist. Yeah. All the Nevi'im, all the promises that they said of the great things that are going to happen are only talking about Yemos HaMashiach. But when it comes to Olam Haba, which again, according to the Rambam, means that after Yemos HaMashiach is Olam Haba, the world of the Shabbos, and according to everybody else, it means that, again, there's the two stages within Mashiach coming. So Olam Haba, or they would say Olam Haba means the world of the Shabbos, where everybody goes after 120. So anyway, that Ayin Lo Rosa Alekim Zalosecha Yasin Machakalei, that no eye has seen besides yours, Hashem, what he's going to do for those who wait for it. Meaning Olam Haba is a whole different thing than Yemos HaMashiach. Yemos HaMashiach is something describable. Olam Haba, according to whatever definition you use, is indescribable. Or Pliga de Shmuel, however, Rav Chiya Ba'aba disagrees with Shmuel. Dama Shmuel, Ein Bein Olam Hazeh Yemos HaMashiach Ad Shibud Malchus Bilvad, because Shmuel says there's no difference between Olam Hazeh and Yemos HaMashiach except for Shibud Malchus. So therefore, you can't say that the promises of the Nevi'im are referring to Yemos HaMashiach, because Yemos HaMashiach, there's not going to be anything different in the world.
Just Shibud Malchus.
Yes, just Shibud Malchus. So it's interesting, I mean, we'll have to stop here, but it's interesting that Rambam brings both of these things. On the one hand, that Rambam brings this thing of Rabbi Yochanan, that Yemos HaMashiach is describable, but Olam Haba is indescribable, and describable in the terms that the Nevi'im use. On the other hand, then he also brings what Shmuel says, that Ein Bein Olam Hazeh L'Yemos HaMashiach, El Hashem Malchus, so it seems to be a contradiction. So there's a number of different ways of reconciling it. One is when the Rambam uses Shmuel's expression, he's using Shmuel's words, but in a different sense. He's saying, you're saying that there's not going to be a difference between Olam Hazeh and Yemos HaMashiach, El Hashem Malchus, doesn't mean... The Rambam himself holds, for example, that as far as, let's say, the Nevuah about the wild animals being peaceful, the Rambam understands that those are metaphors. So therefore, the world would be still the same natural world that we know now, but Kol Nevi'im Kulam are talking about it using exalted language, using expressions that imply Nisim, but really, it's going to be Derech HaTeva.
To be like today.
But again, even the Rambam might agree that there's going to be a second stage within Yemos HaMashiach when all of those things will literally happen.
We're just talking about the first stage.
So primarily we're talking about the first stage, right.